Your advice single-handedly broke up my marriage. You're an awful person.
You're 24 years old. Why would I listen to you? Why would you be giving therapy and advice to people who clearly need it? It doesn't make any sense, Ari. This is a horrible idea.
You're listening to Unlicensed Therapy with Ari Manis.
Ari Manis.
Okay, cool.
It's hard doing a bunch of things at once. And I'm kind of a perfectionist.
You are?
I'm a little OCD.
Oh.
We'll get into that.
But that's good. And well, not clinical OCD, but...
It might be. How do you know?
Well,
oh,
there's
let
a
me, before we start,
there's
see,
a checklist.
There's what I'm talking about. Okay, there we go. Okay. It's okay. You're not a podcaster, right?
I'm not.
Okay. You could be, though. You have a great voice for
Thanks.
It.
Thanks. It's my therapy voice.
Hello, and welcome to Unlicensed Therapy with me, your host, Ari Manis. If you're not familiar with the show, I have comedians come in, various entertainers, all sorts of people really come in, and I help them with their life. I give them therapy and we have a conversation. And you may be thinking, Ari, you're not a licensed therapist. You aren't even a psychology major in college. You know what? That's true, but I care.
That's enough.
Yeah, I care. And I don't believe in licensed things. I prefer it unlicensed. Do you find that disrespectful, the premise of the show?
No, not at all.
Okay, good. So one time I told that to someone in psychology school or college, and she was studying psychology, and I told her the premise of my podcast, and she was like, I think that's really bad and disrespectful towards like what I'm pursuing. And I was like, grow up.
Yeah, right.
You could have
get a sense of humor.
Yeah, there's different things in life, and there's plenty of smart people that could still be helpful even if they're not trained by a book.
Mm-hmm. I can agree to that.
Yeah.
To an extent.
Yeah, to an extent.
To an extent, right.
Yeah, I'm sure there's things to be taught. Mm-hmm. And skills and mistakes that I've made.
Mm-hmm.
And this podcast, yeah, has previous guests of this podcast killed themselves? Yeah, it's happened. Is it because of me? I don't know.
Uncertain.
I don't think it is.
Unclear.
But I guess I didn't help them enough if
mm-hmm.
they did.
Mm-hmm.
But they were sad. They're comedians. Comedians mm-hmm. have a lot of emotional.
I know, I've heard.
Rest in peace, Neil Nanda, previous guest of the show. So that's kind of where I'm at. This started off dark. How long have you been a therapist for?
For over 10 years.
Wow, you look young. And I'm
Thanks.
not hitting on you. Let's start that
I didn't. I didn't.
But you look young
Thank
to
you.
Be doing it 10 years.
I also started really young. You know, I went to high school, then college, then grad school. And then.
How old were you when you started?
I was...
You see
unclear.
What I did there? You see what I did there?
Uncertain.
Got your age. And yeah, and just to be clear, I have a girlfriend. This is purely a professional podcast.
Oh my gosh.
Like,
thank
we
you
might
so much
get
for saying that.
Unprofessional, but don't like hit on me or ask me out after the podcast.
I was unsure.
Are you, what about you? Are you married? Are you?
I'm not married, but I don't disclose that kind of stuff just because I still see clients and.
No, okay. I'm not.
You know?
I'm going to pry into this a little bit.
Go for it.
Why? So, for example, like I see a therapist.
Jan.
John.
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 John. Oh, John.
John. John. Mm-hmm. And he has a partner.
How do you know?
He told me. I asked. I was like, do you have a partner? And he's like, yeah, I live with my partner.
Mm.
And I kind of like that.
Yeah.
He's never once. I mean, I get that there's different strategies. And mm-hmm. just because he does that, not every therapist does that. But what is your reasoning behind keeping your personal life that secret? Like, why is it a bad to say, yeah, I have a boyfriend, I have a girlfriend, whatever?
Yeah. Okay, so I prefer the term private over secret. I went to USC for School of Social Work,
mm-hmm.
and they were very much about the boundaries and about the ethics. And there's this thing called the blank slate, which I am very much a blank slate type of therapist. I don't think that it is helpful or valuable for my clients to really know anything about me. And I prefer for them to come into the therapy room.
So
with
if
just their own stuff.
That's like, fair.
With none of my stuff kind of leaking into it.
Got it. So mm-hmm. you never you do relate to them obviously in your head, but
right.
you never go, oh yeah, that happened to me once and
oh, yeah,
I did
never.
This. Never.
I wrote this story on my Instagram that I will never do that for as long as I know, because it's not my time and it's on their dime, right?
Okay.
It's like, not about me.
Got it. Never but even, and even if they want to know or you think it'll be helpful, like, because I don't know, to me.
Yeah.
I find it helpful when someone's like, you know, I actually had this same issue in my life and this is what I did and this is what I'd recommend. Mm-hmm.
You would really find that helpful if your therapist said that.
Totally.
You would.
I love that he's a real person and that he can relate to certain things that are going on with me. If he's just by the book and going, I'm just like, I know you're a person. Like, right. I don't want you to hide your
person.
Your person. Yeah. Uh-huh. I like to. I'm, especially if I'm being vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. You want them to be vulnerable too.
They don't have, obviously, like, he doesn't need to be like, listen, I got divorced and I was cheating on my ex-wife and blah. Like, I don't need everything. But I'd like to know who he is a little bit. I'd like to know that I'm not talking to a crazy person or a weirdo. I'm not saying you are.
Yeah, that's where reviews come in and stuff like that.
Yeah, so that's my thought as an unlicensed therapist.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so maybe.
No, but a lot of people think that. A lot of people want to know about their therapist.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's cool. So, okay, so you are not, you may have a partner. You may not. You may be.
Unclear.
You may be celibate.
Yeah.
You may be asexual.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Or not, yeah.
Or not, or maybe the opposite, or maybe you go to swinger parties.
Yes, I was like, what is the opposite? Yes.
Yeah, or who knows? Mm-hmm. Wow. I'm going to use my imagination for that. Right. So you studied at USC, very good school.
Yeah.
Private school, so rich kid probably.
You know what? Low income, paying off student loans.
Okay.
But it was nice to be around the rich kids.
Appreciate your honesty on that. Okay, yeah. Opposite of rich kid. Good for you for going to the rich kid school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because do you listen to Dave Ramsey at all?
I'm familiar.
He goes, is this a Dave Ramsey quote? I don't know. I've heard this quote from somewhere.
Out
of the closet?
No, like he's not in. Like he's
like not popular?
Like we don't listen to him.
Who's we?
Like the collective of people.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah? Okay.
I'm conservative a little bit.
Oh, okay.
So I like him. Yeah, I'm not very LA and sorry.
I understand.
Woke and liberal. But he's very Christian.
I did read his book. I did read his book. And then
I don't remember if this is his quote or not, but there's a quote where he says, your network is your net worth.
Ooh.
So if you're...
are you rich?
Not yet, but my network is rich.
Okay,
the people I surround myself with.
Okay. So then I will be your friend.
Yeah.
And then
through association. I take that back. I have poor friends too. I have a lot of comedian friends that are poor. But my closest friends, I try to keep people around me that are motivated people.
Right.
So that it motivates me more. Because if you're around, if all your best friends are lazy, you go, oh, well, I'm doing more than that guy, doing more than that person.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that technique as a therapist?
I do think it's important to be around people who inspire and uplift you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So and who have a good moral compass.
Unlicensed and licensed agree.
Yes.
We come to terms on that. What is the most shocking problem you've ever encountered as a therapist?
Ooh.
And you don't need to say names. I understand that there's clients.
Or identifying information.
Yeah, you don't need to identify people, but maybe there's something you could reveal. Maybe it's been a while and it's in general terms, you could say what their issue was without. Is that something you can do?
Skip.
Bam.
But I know there's
that one would have been so juicy.
You know, I know it would have been the most juicy, but it is just like.
You think if they listened to this and they heard you say it, they'd be like, that's me.
Oh, for sure.
Got it. Because so it's a specific. It's like a specific thing.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
So then this is probably the same answer.
Okay, go.
most messed up trauma, like the most hardcore trauma.
Aww.
It's not all fun and games here. I like
it's
to get
not
into the
all
real
fun
thing.
And games. Yeah. The most hardcore trauma. I would say sexual abuse.
Sexual abuse.
Yeah.
And
I would say sexual, but
that's pretty vague though. So like what did their father sexually abuse them? Like what was?
Yeah. Skip.
Skip. Okay.
you know, and here's why. Here's why.
Yeah.
People's stories are so sacred. And when they come to see a therapist, they trust in the sacredness of their stories, whether or not there's identifying information being given.
I agree with you 100% on that. Like I would hate it if I listened to someone and I knew they were talking about me, but I was thinking maybe there was something you could say where it counts for 20 people. So you're like, I could say this because I've heard 20 people.
Anybody.
Yeah, it could apply to 20 people type of thing.
Yeah. I've worked with many people who have experienced sexual abuse, whether it's from someone they trusted, someone they didn't know.
You're definitely not going to answer this one.
Okay, but let's try it.
You're freaking boring, dude. okay, have you ever been into a patient?
Oh, like romantically?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, have you ever been into a patient romantically, but kept, you still remain professional because you know that's your job, but have you ever secretly been like, that guy's hot or that girl's hot or I wish he wasn't my, they weren't my patient?
So I could be with them forever and we could like start a family.
Sure, it could be that intense. It could just be like, yeah. I'd go on a date with him, but.
Yeah, like if he weren't my patient.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, that like this could really work out.
Yeah.
You know, no. I haven't.
Are you being honest?
I'm being 1,000% honest.
It's okay. So no, I don't think anyone would fault you for it.
Right. No. Yeah. So it's totally a thing in our field. There have been therapists that have hooked up with their clients. There have been therapists that have like gotten married to their clients.
Yeah.
Crazy things happen. So when you graduate and when you get licensed, you get a book. You get a book that comes in the mail and it says, professional therapy never includes sex.
Okay. And I agree.
Right. Yeah. But it is like drilled into your brain.
Sure.
If you're a good therapist, it should be drilled into your brain.
Yeah.
And so whoever walks in, it's just I've worked with a lot of models, male models, female models. Okay. I think I've been really lucky to have good boundaries.
And it could still happen.
It's never too late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're young.
Yeah.
You probably got at least 20 years left in your field.
Mm-hmm.
It can still happen.
It can.
It's happening right now. I bet I'm hot.
Mm-hmm.
Has a patient ever been into you? Have you ever had to set boundaries where a patient has been like, listen, or even an ex-patient where they're like, hey, we stopped seeing each other. I was waiting. Will you go out with me?
Yeah, that has happened.
Whoa.
Yeah,
and do you say yes or no?
what do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I say no.
Every time.
Yeah. Yeah. One person thought that we had a connection. It was like years after. And then they said, I felt a connection. I know you felt it too. What do you think?
You know, I know you felt it too. That's bold.
Yeah.
I believe them. I think you felt it.
Right.
Yeah, with them.
Maybe I didn't know. Maybe it was in my subconscious. Yeah, it didn't happen.
Okay. I'm probably gonna have to cut this out, but I have a girlfriend currently.
How old is
she? Let's just call her Jay. Her name's Jay.
Jay, okay.
And she's 24, I'm 34. Mm-hmm. So there's a bit of an age gap.
Okay.
And
how old was she when you met her?
23.
Okay.
And I was 33.
Okay.
So we've been dating about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And a year and 9 months, actually, if you can't. Well, we were broken up for 6 months. Anyway.
Why? What did you do?
Whoa, how do you know it was me?
Because just statistically.
It's usually the guy? Statistically?
I would think.
You would think.
I'm just kidding.
So here's the issue we had. So we were going to couples therapy. Mm. We still do, but we were going to a couples therapist.
With Jean or with somebody else?
Somebody else.
Okay.
And she was a young lady, the therapist, I think she was like 26. And because of our previous issues, there's like, you know, trust issues and jealousy. Anyway, the therapy was over Zoom. She came in once and I was making the therapist laugh. Mm-hmm. Like she came in on a laughter moment. Mm-hmm. And after that therapy session, she goes, she's into you. We have to see a different therapist. And it didn't, our relationship didn't last much longer after that. But we're back together again.
Congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah, and we're seeing a different couples therapist.
Good.
Yeah. Do you do couples therapy too or just individual?
Just individual. I've done couples therapy, but right now individual.
Would you take on a couple client right now or are you kind of staying away from that?
I'm not taking on any new clients in general, but I would not be opposed to taking on a couple if I were accepting new clients.
That's pretty cool. So you're doing... You're doing not taking any new clients level success right now?
I guess that's what you would call it. Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Props.
Thank you.
It's hard to get there.
Yeah, is it?
How many clients do you have? Are you allowed to say that roughly?
Yeah, sure. I see about 10 to 15 people a week.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. So maybe two a day.
No. Whoa. Huh? Then maybe my math is wrong. Let's say 15 at the most, like four a day. But I don't work 5-7 days a week.
Okay, how many do you do?
Four.
Dang. Yeah. Okay. So 4 a day and then multiple. Multiple days. Wow. Okay. Yeah. That's a good life. You're living a good life right now.
Yeah.
A lot of free time.
So. Mm-hmm. Yes and no, but yeah.
Are you allowed to say this? How much do you, on average, charge a session? I'm sure it fluctuates depending on the person. Like if I were to come to you and I was like, hey, I'm an individual looking for therapy.
Okay, this is going to stir up a lot of controversy. So when I first started therapy, I had a certain rate. Yeah. Since then, my rate has gone up.
Totally. Okay. That makes sense.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. So I still see people at that original rate, mm-hmm. if not less. So yeah. I have not raised my prices since I've started.
Oh, that, so
I've not raised my prices once. So I will start with that. So I still have people that have been grandfathered in. My current rate is $300 for 50 minutes.
$300 for 50. That makes sense. And why 50? Why don't you round it up to an hour?
That's such a great question. I think I just kind of follow what I did when I was working in community mental health. We were doing 53 minutes. And
53 minutes?
Yeah.
That's so weird to me. It's
an insurance thing.
You're 53 minutes. Your time is up.
Yeah, it's an insurance
thing. And obviously, I'm sure there's a little discrepancy there. Sometimes you do an hour and sometimes you do 45 minutes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, I'll never do less. But it will go over most of the time.
Yeah. So $300 an hour. So I'm just going to try. I'm going to take a guess. If I guess it, will you tell me your original rate, your grandfathered rate?
Yeah, of course.
I'm going to guess $150 an hour.
Yeah.
Okay,
how'd you know that?
Just took a guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Educated guess. Mm-hmm. $300 an hour. That's pretty pricey. The problem is when you sign up for a therapist, typically, I imagine, you could correct me if I'm wrong.
Sure.
But typically when you sign up for therapy, you're probably going through something in your life, a low point. Mm-hmm. It's probably not everything's fine. And you're like, I should do therapy to make it even better. It's typically, on average, would you say when someone comes to you, they're not doing that well mentally. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
So when you're not doing that well mentally, if you can afford it, you're going to say yes to any price. Mm-hmm. They're like, listen, I'm $500 an hour. In your head, you're like, I just need to feel better. 500, yeah, you got it, 500 an hour. But still, you don't want to be too expensive because then they're going to leave you after a little bit if they're like, this
is
too expensive.
Yeah, it's not sustainable.
Yeah, it's not sustainable. But yeah, I remember my therapist was like, it's $250 an hour, but I could be flexible. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I was like, sounds good, $250 an hour. But now that I'm feeling better, I'm like, man, I wish I bargained a little bit.
Yeah. You can ask him now.
I feel like it's weird now to be like, yeah, I know I've been paying this much, but can I pay this much instead?
Would you do that with a dentist?
If he told me originally, hey, I charge $250, but I could do it for less, then I would do it. I wouldn't do it. But yeah, I wouldn't do it if I've been paying the dentist $200, then go back later and be like, actually, can I do $150? Which is how I'm doing it now. But originally, if the dentist was like, hey, I charge $200, but I'll do it for $100, I'd be like, okay, well, I'll do $100 then.
Okay.
Yeah, I think. Wouldn't?
I wouldn't what?
Do that with a dentist?
I didn't know I could do it with dentists.
I don't think you can.
I heard you can.
Really?
Yeah. So I was once scammed by a dentist. And when I told my friends about it, they're like, why didn't you negotiate the price? I was like, I didn't know you could. And they said, any type of a service you can negotiate.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Here's a little dentist trick for you. If you just need, do you have dental insurance?
No.
Neither do I. If you just need something routine, basic, that you can go to basically any dentist for, like a teeth cleaning.
Yes.
Or a basic cavity.
Yes.
Get it on Groupon.
I did though.
You did? Okay.
I did. It was like $25 for this. I went in and I ended up paying like thousands of dollars later. And I was like, I came in for a $25 service.
Here's what happens. So you have to have your guard up because when they're doing the $25 teeth cleaning, they're taking a loss basically on you. They're hoping to keep you as a customer there, as a dentist patient. So when you're there, they're going to try and be like, hey, I know you came in for a cleaning, but we found three cavities.
Right.
So you have to say no. I'm here for the cleaning. And then you still get the price.
Do you know what they did?
What?
Well, first of all, I'm Filipino. Uh-huh. They brought out the Filipino dentist to talk to me because I said no. And then she came in. She talked to me. She was hitting soft spots about the culture. She softened me up. And I was like, okay, I guess I need it. I was a sucker. Anyway, then I looked them up on Yelp and then they got 1 star and everybody said that they got scammed.
Yeah.
So anyway.
And I get it. I make sense. So yeah, you have to go in there with – even if I have cavities, I'm not doing them here.
Yes.
You have to go in there with that mentality.
I'm going to shop around for prices.
Yes, because they'll get you.
Yeah. Oh, I got.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being open and admitting that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
What is the most common problem that someone goes to therapy for? What's the most common issue, would you say?
I would say the most common symptoms that people go into therapy for would be anxiety and depression. Mm-hmm. Right now, I am seeing that there is a trend in people coming to therapy to talk about what their purpose is.
Like meaning of life type of purpose?
Meaning of life, and what do they want to do with their time? What do they want to do in terms of career? What do they want to do lifelong? Yeah. Relationships too.
So yeah, trouble in their relationship, yeah. But they're still going to individual therapy for that issue.
Yes. They're not sure if they want to stay in the relationship that they're in.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So they're kind of at that like crossroads.
Got it.
Or they want to see if the way they're perceiving the relationship is accurate, if they're overreacting, underreacting.
That's really interesting. It's mm-hmm. also the first issue you were telling me where they're contemplating their job or what they want to mm-hmm. do with their life. That sounds like such a good problem. That we're at in society, if that's why mm-hmm. people are going to therapy. They're like, listen, my life's so good, but is this what I want? They're questioning mm-hmm. things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so that's kind of cool.
That's a really good perspective.
Yeah. What are some basic tips for self-improvement? What do you say if you're listening to this and you're like, listen, I can't afford therapy, but what's something I can do on my own? Just a basic tip to just improve my mental well-being.
Move your body if you can. Right? Like move your body, get outside, get some vitamin D. Studies have shown time and time again, being outside, going for walks, being in nature really does help with depression and anxiety. Set yourself up some sort of a routine. Routines are really helpful for our mental health. Those
Routine.
Are like the easy, yes, journal, write, community, friendship, being
Those
around people
sense.
That make you feel good.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I agree with mm-hmm. those things. What is a way I could be a better unlicensed therapist?
I think you should read more books on therapy and maybe self-help. Do your own work, which you are doing in couples therapy.
And individual.
Yeah, congratulations. Yeah. I personally think that the best therapists are the ones that have been in therapy long-term. They're the ones that are doing their own work.
I've heard that
before. Yeah, so keep going to therapy.
Mm-hmm. Even though he tells me personal things about himself.
Yeah, as long as, like, it's not all the time
or the whole
session.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's like tidbits.
Yeah. Does he follow you
and
on Instagram?
I'll ask. No.
How would you feel if he did?
I have a very public
right.
thing on Instagram, so I wouldn't care. Maybe if I had, like, a private account and I was, then I'd be like, this is kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
But because I'm like a stand-up comedian and whatever,
okay.
have followers, it's
your
fine.
Therapist should never follow you on Instagram no matter what.
Is that in the rule book?
It's
is
just
that in the
like,
handbook?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I don't know. Social media is so new, so I'm sure they're going to put it in there.
Uh-huh.
But that's just like a thing, an ethical thing.
I think I agree with that if I was a normal person.
Mm-hmm.
But if I have 50,000 followers mm-hmm. and I'm a stand-up comedian, he knows my name and he knows what I do.
Mm-hmm.
He should get you could make the argument, I'm getting to know my clients.
Yeah.
If he started DMing me and responding to things, then there might be, okay, this is a little unprofessional.
Yeah.
But if it's just, because here's the thing, even if he doesn't follow me, he could still be looking at my stuff and I would know about it. And it's like, what's the difference?
Sure.
Yeah. What are some good starter questions to ask a new client? Do you have maybe 5 or 10 questions that you ask at the beginning of your first sessions every time?
Yeah. How are you feeling today? What is it like to be you today? What do you need? That's like my main question.
What do you need?
What do you need? Some therapists will start their session by doing an entire intake history, like tell me about your life from birth to now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, we'll get there.
Yeah.
We'll get there eventually. We'll get there organically. What do you need right now? And then they kind of just update me from wherever they are.
I told you when I was looking for a therapist, I saw 5 of them and I picked one.
Mm.
And I imagine that's pretty normal.
Yeah.
So when you take on a first session,
mm-hmm.
I imagine a lot of them don't come back for a second session.
Yeah.
What do you what's about the percentage of people who stay on board with you?
With me?
Yeah, after a first session.
I would say I have a pretty low turnaround. That's a good question. That stay on board, I would say over 85%.
Oh, that's really high.
Mm-hmm.
And how long does the average client stay with you for? I'm sure that ranges quite a bit based off of how fast they, you know, feel better, I guess you could say. And then, so how long on average have you seen your clients for?
Okay, so have you interviewed a therapist before?
No, first one.
Oh, you, okay, so I'm gonna put you up on game. There are some therapists who are solution-focused problem-solving therapists. So they see clients in and out like 6 months to a year.
Yeah, and I've seen that on therapists' websites and profiles. Like, my goal is to get you out of therapy.
Yeah, okay.
But there's some that, are, you know, hey, let's see each other once a month forever.
Yeah. That's me. Second one. Not forever, right? It's whatever you need. So I've had clients who I haven't seen in a long time and they come back and then I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Right? Like, come, you can come back. So you can see me as little or as much as you need.
Sure.
I've had clients I've been with since I started. So years.
Got it. Okay,
years,
cool.
Years. So but if somebody was just like, I need solutions and I feel better, then yeah, they can end whenever they feel ready.
Relationship advice, how to fight in a healthy way. Me and my girlfriend, we get into a big fight probably once a week. And we probably get into a little fight once a week.
Do you think that's a lot of fighting or a little fighting or medium fighting?
You know, in my head, it's a lot. But when I talk to couples, most of them say they do, they fight once a week.
Okay.
From my my personal circle.
Yeah.
But I still don't. It's a lot for me. I'd rather not fight once a week. Mm-hmm. I'd rather fight once. I'd rather not fight,
but
I'm going to
fight
once a month.
Fighting is healthy. Yeah. Arguing.
Fight. Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no physical stuff going on yet. Mm. No, there won't be. I'm a gentle giant. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, so what?
So the question was, what are some tips to fight in a healthy, to argue in a healthy manner?
First tip. Take space before you bring up the conversation. Like, calm down first. Figure out what you want to say first. Identify what your goal is first. Then you bring it up to your partner. Do not blindside them.
Wouldn't taking space to calm down and then bring it up kind of be blindsiding them? Not on purpose necessarily, but isn't just if you're not doing it in the moment and then bringing it up, isn't that a little blindsided?
Would you rather have somebody just like approach you in the moment with a certain tone? Or would you rather have somebody say, hey, something's bothering me. Can we talk about it later?
Second one.
Yeah. Then you're just like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's a good
tip. Timing really, really matters. Then come at it like solution, like we're on the same team. We're on the same team.
I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. You guys want the same thing.
Yeah. The last fight we got into was definitely in the moment. And we were on the same team, but yeah, it's hard it's hard to not get defensive when someone brings up an issue they have. Because obviously you didn't do anything bad on purpose. So then when they bring it up, you're like, well, yeah, you just get defensive. It's hard.
And then ask, what can I do to help make this better?
What can I do to help make this better? That's nice. When you see couples that break up a lot, do you think that, but they get back together, do you think that chances are get worse each breakup or better for that couple?
Gosh, like I'm going to hit you with a common therapist response. It depends. But I think the prognosis, like if we were to look at 500 couples and that was their, the majority would end up not being together.
If they've broken up before.
Yeah. Like multiple times.
Yeah.
Because couples have arguments. It's healthy. It's normal to have arguments based on how you repair it afterwards because it can actually bring you guys closer together. And at the same time, I actually just posted about it today. You want to look at the ratio. Like what is the ratio between enjoyment and arguing? Like the ratio of enjoyment has got to be greater than the ratio. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. But if it's swapped, it's kind of tough.
Yeah, that makes sense. That totally makes sense.
And then you also want to keep in mind how long somebody's been together for and X, Y, and Z.
Right. What made you want to be a therapist?
I became a therapist on accident. Right.
Interesting.
I know. I went to the School of Social Work at USC because I was just very much into social justice and activism. So I don't know. I was just like, maybe I can get like a formal degree in activism if that's a thing.
And doesn't sound very monetarily beneficial.
Right. And yeah. So when I got into social work, they give you internships. All my internships were therapy.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you went back to school and got a master's, or how
that was my master's.
That was your master's. Yeah. Got it.
I went to Cal Poly Pomona for my bachelor's.
So your master's, the whole time you were in your master's, did you know you were going to be a therapist? Or
no, I kind of figured it out a few months in.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Does it bum you out hearing people's problems all day? Because you said you do 4 therapy sessions a day, 3 days a week. So at the end of a long day, are you kind of like a little sad?
No.
No.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Because, and it's not that, I'm not, because I have hope for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I have hope that everybody will eventually get to the place that they want to be.
Mm-hmm. And maybe it makes you appreciate your life more, hearing someone else's horrible. Like, you're like, oh, that guy's life is so much worse than mine.
Yeah. I don't know. Let me try that and see.
I don't know.
Let me try.
For me, sometimes it could be that way. What's your favorite nonfiction book?
Nonfiction.
What's like the number one book you tell people to? What's the number one? Okay, let's.
Yeah, so like self-help, real.
Yeah, what's the number one self-help book you'd recommend people to read? If there's only one. Like, I'm not buying multiple books. Give me one book.
I like Radical Acceptance. I mean, it does have a very religious, like, base to it. And if a person's not religious, I think there are still parts of the book that are really, really helpful.
Got it. But a big theme in the book is like, love God.
Yeah, I think, yeah, something.
Are there any types of people you'd refuse as a client?
I would probably refuse to work with people who are resistant to therapy. So there are some people that make it very clear during the initial consultation that they are resistant. So it's like very contradictory. They're coming to therapy, but they're also telling you they're not going to want to cooperate.
Interesting. So are they resistant, like meaning they're skeptical about the whole thing? That type of resistance? Like, listen, I want to go. I'm interested, but I'm not sold on this yet. Is it that type of resistance?
It could be resistant because it's mandated, like mandated by the court, mandated by
probation. So you don't do that kind of therapy.
Or their spouse is making them.
Right.
It's not for me.
Can we go into narcissism?
Sure.
Okay, so earlier you said you don't like to see narcissist patients.
Mm-hmm.
Are they called patients?
I don't prefer,
yeah. And I've heard other therapists say this before, so it's not uncommon. Is the reason because they try to manipulate you as a therapist? Obviously, it's not fun to be around bad people. So I could see that as a reason not to treat a narcissist patient. But why in general would you say you don't like to work with narcissists?
I would say, well, somebody with true narcissistic personality disorder, their progress is really, 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 it can be really slow and it can be really limited. And it's something that I used to work with in the past. And I just find that there are other people, other therapists who are more motivated to work with that population and probably more skilled. And I prefer that they work with those types of therapists. But I would say it can be really difficult.
Gotcha. That makes sense. I have a theory that any social media person, any comedian, any musician, any actor, they're narcissists. And I think there could be a range of it. It is a theory. What? Tell me your thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think they're all narcissists. There could still be like a low-level narcissist that's not a crazy person. They're not all like, holy shit, that person's a sociopath, insane person. But I would say anyone who's like, feed me attention, follow me, listen to what I have to say, watch my art, buy my painting – they're narcissists. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you're right. Yes.
Nice.
Okay. But you better not chop and screw that.
No,
never. Okay. So it's true. There's levels to it, right? So we all have, like, even for me to come up here and be like, yeah, I'm a good fit for this. That's a healthy dose of narcissism. You have to have a healthy dose of narcissism to want to pursue the things that are enjoyable for you. Healthy dose. Then we go towards pathological.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, sure, people who have large platforms and listen to me, look at me, buy my thing, healthy dose.
So this is interesting. So I imagine that most people would not, even if they are a pathological narcissist, mm-hmm. would not be like, you should know something about me. I'm a pathological narcissist.
Yeah.
Even though that's kind of why you'd go to therapy is maybe to work on that, but mm-hmm. and maybe they don't even know they are, whatever the reason. So how would you identify that someone is a pathological narcissist in order to not want to work with them, for example, or to recommend them to a different therapist?
As a therapist, you do like an initial consultation, mm-hmm. and then it's based on what they are coming into therapy with, how they're talking about other people, how they're talking about themselves, and then you can kind of see their level of empathy, their level of insight, and their level of awareness.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And then we also have this thing called the DSM, right? It's called the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, and it has every single diagnosis, including narcissism. And then there are certain criteria a person has to meet in order to...
Got it.
And have you seen those TikToks where people are like, I am a narcissist. I am a diagnosed narcissist. And
I have a couple of them.
Yeah. I haven't gone too deep in the rabbit hole of it, but those are very interesting to me because most narcissists will not agree. So that's interesting.
Yeah, it almost makes me go, are you a narcissist? I feel like a narcissist wouldn't do this.
Qualities. Yeah.
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 Narcissists would just gain power over mm-hmm. people and
mm-hmm. and gaslight everybody around them.
Gaslighting. Mm-hmm. I don't like that term.
Why not?
Because I'm a narcissist. No, because I just was like, I feel like it's overused these days.
It is.
I've had too many people say to me when we're arguing, you're gaslighting me. And I'm like, we're just arguing. And mm-hmm. I'm making my point. I'm not gaslighting mm-hmm. you. And then also I looked in the history of the word. It comes from that a movie.
Yeah.
But more recently when it became popular is because of Donald Trump. And I'm a big Donald Trump fan. So that's why I don't like the gaslighting word. Mm. I don't like I think gaslighting and manipulating mm-hmm. are two words that are just, maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like they're really popular words right now mm-hmm. amongst people. They're like, mm-hmm. you're manipulating me. You're gaslighting me. And it's like, no, I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to you. Mm-hmm. I'm saying points on an argument. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that?
I could see that, and I can also see that people who have historically been gaslit and manipulated didn't know that they were, and now they're finally using the terms that are appropriate mm-hmm. to label what's happening. Are there people that are overusing and misusing? Yes. Are there people that didn't know these terms and can now see it and are labeling it appropriately? That's also true.
Yeah. But I think one's more than the other. Mm-hmm. I think people mm-hmm. need to save that word for a special occasion is all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Save that word for a bad guy, mm-hmm. not a good guy like me. Are there any problems in your life that I could help you with?
Okay. I should have come prepared for this. Are there any problems in my life? Let me think. Okay, this is going to be like so shallow.
That's good. That's fine.
Is it?
I think everyone's got some shallow problems.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Sometimes I just feel like, okay, so this goes into my abandonment. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. I love to work. And so I don't just see clients, but I also write articles for companies. I also do workshops for companies. I also mm-hmm. do free community events in Los Angeles for people who don't have access to care. So
I do podcasts.
I do podcast interviews. I drive to West Hollywood in LA traffic mm-hmm. for, you know,
from Pasadena.
Busy.
Yeah. Busy woman.
Yeah. And so sometimes because I love what I do, I find myself working all the time. And then I'm just like, wait, tell me how to find balance between loving what I do, but also making sure I'm not doing it all of the time, but I enjoy it.
For example,
I'm planning a vacation, right? I'm going to hopefully Bali.
I've been there. Awesome place. Yeah.
Where did you stay? I've been there twice already.
I've been there once.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And the monkey part.
Poor Forest, I've been there, yeah.
And I forget the name. In my head, but one of them was like a beach party place and one of them was the
Potato
opposite.
Head. In Seminyak. Okay, so I'm planning this trip and I'm just so excited to work when I'm there. Like be in this nice place, pull out my laptop, do some work.
Sessions,
sessions, work. And then, you know, there are people who are just like, I don't want to. Think of, you know, so what do I do about that? Is that a problem? Is that...
First off, that made me think of a question. What percentage of your therapy sessions are over Zoom and what do you do in person as well? Like what's the ratio?
Oh, that's a great question. So I actually have office spaces. I have three of them and I go in 2 days a month.
So mostly over Zoom then?
Yeah.
Vast majority. Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, it's nice. It's a nice mm-hmm. little perk of the job. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a really easy solution.
Okay.
And I get it. As a comedian, I also love to work. I love to do stand-up. It's my favorite thing in the world.
Uh-huh.
So anytime someone asks me to do a show, even a bad show, if I'm free, my gut instinct is to be like, yeah, I'll do it. Sign me up. Mm-hmm. Even if it's free, even if it doesn't pay, that's how much I like it. Yeah.
That makes me happy.
I mean, you get stand-up comedy is a drug. It's like you get high from doing it, making people laugh. It's a straight-up drug. It's probably even unhealthy, and it feeds narcissism. Mm. But anyway, so I love it. So I have the same issue as you.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it can get away in the way of personal life. It makes dating very hard. Mm. It can make a partner very like, hey, why don't you take some nights for me or whatever, whatever the thing is, or it takes away from other projects. I think it's as simple as this. You know what a healthy amount of work is, and you know what an unhealthy amount of work is.
Mm-hmm.
So schedule it out better. So let's say you're like, I want to work 40 hours a week. To me, that's a healthy amount. That's a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
Schedule it out and track your hours. And if you're going over 40, then you know, hey, I need to work less.
Okay.
I'm working too much.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll make you enjoy work more because you'll be like, oh, I don't get to work as much. I'd like to work more, but I don't, so I should appreciate it while I'm doing it.
Do you do that? Do you have like a time each day that you turn off?
I'll be honest. I'm pretty lazy and stand-up comedy doesn't take that many hours.
Okay.
So I probably work closer to 20 hours a week. I have a lot of free time. I could probably use to work more on projects and stuff like that. I take a lot of vacation. I take a lot.
So you don't have the same problem as me.
Well, I have the same problem is that I love to work, but it's different because, yeah, to do stand-up comedy and podcasting for 40 – I guess podcasting I could do for 40 hours a week and I don't.
Uh-huh.
But it's a lot harder to do 40 hours a week, I think, because, yeah, even if I did 2 shows 7 nights a week, that's not 40 hours a week.
But aren't there things that you do outside of that that is, like, considered work, right? Like you said, you have a social media presence. So is there crafting posts, editing?
I don't like that part of the work.
Studying.
I guess I was talking about stand-up.
Yeah.
I don't like all areas of my work.
Oh.
So social media is, like, a necessary evil because you got to get fans in the seats. But I don't like being on social media. I don't hate it, but I'm not, like, oh, yeah, I'm so excited to – respond to comments and make this post this picture. I don't really care.
It's not
about
your jam.
It.
What about other stuff though? Like, do you go on YouTube and like study your craft or read a book to study your craft? Like, because I consider that part of the work.
Yeah, I guess some things are. It's also complicated because some things of the work they're not even really work. Like, you could make the argument that watching a stand-up comedy special on Netflix is a work for me.
Yes,
but it's like plenty of people do that as the opposite of work.
Yeah.
So there's gray areas too. Mm-hmm. So maybe I do work 40 hours a week, but a lot of it just doesn't even feel like work at all.
Okay.
And I don't get paid and it's not scheduled. So
got it.
Yeah, it can be, it can be tricky.
I like your advice. Thank you.
Oh yeah,
I will follow it.
Oh, sweet. Damn.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think you'd be so receptive.
I am.
Okay, so we're gonna play a voicemail.
So I've had intrusive thoughts since I was 11. And for a while, I thought I was going crazy and I didn't know what to do. And the usual way that I helped myself was like this little mantra, I'd say. But it's not really helping anymore. So, what do I do?
I think I'll go first on this one.
Oh, yes, please.
What the fuck is she talking about? It was so vague, so slow, so slow at talking. You didn't really tell us anything.
Mm-hmm.
I have intrusive thoughts. And normally I do a mantra to help them, but now that's not working. What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
What are your intrusive thoughts? Like, I need a lot more info. I get that it's a voicemail and you can't tell us too much, but like, that was just... What the fuck was that?
Right.
Like, I'm sorry to be mean, but fuck you for leaving that. Fuck you for leaving that dumb voicemail. Do better. Sorry. What were you? Yeah, now you can go.
So here's mine. practicing mindfulness is going to be really helpful. And separating what you're thinking versus how you're feeling. These are just thoughts and you label it. This is an intrusive thought. This is not my reality. And then mindfulness, focusing on the present moment. Redirecting.
That was better.
Yes.
Damn. All right, 1-0, real therapist versus unlicensed.
You'll get there.
1-0. Is that the only one? Okay. Jesse, do you have any questions?
Come on, Jesse.
You got nothing?
You got, this is free therapy right now.
Okay, I suffer from anger issues, and I need help with that.
Hmm.
It's weird when
Does he really, though?
I believe him. It's weird when there's anger issues with, like, a little Asian man for some reason. Is that racist? It's like, when I picture a dude with anger issues, it's like, I picture, like, a tough dude that needs to get his anger out. Yeah, I don't know. I think that might just have been mean of me to say, but I'm just going to say it. I'm like, you need to be, like, sweet and soft to match your appearance.
That is a little bit racist.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's demasculating Asian men, which is a thing.
It's a thing in Hollywood.
Thank you.
But Keanu Reeves is breaking the norm.
Is he Asian?
Yeah, Keanu Reeves is a Hapa.
Oh.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
Hot guy, huh?
I can't remember what he looks like.
He played a quarterback. He's an action star. He's like one of the most badass men in Hollywood. He's half, but still.
Yeah.
It's a good start.
We really need more. I call it representation. We really need more representation in Hollywood.
I don't agree with you there. I think there's too much representation right now. There's too much diversity push.
To Asian.
Well, yeah. So Asian representation. I don't.
Representation. Asian.
Mm-hmm. It's so dumb now when I see a commercial and there's like mixed people all over the place where it's like a black guy and like a white wife with an Asian daughter. And I'm just like, this isn't real life.
Mm. Adoption happens.
Yeah, I know. But it doesn't happen IVF. In every... But when it's every commercial, I'm just like, this isn't, I don't know. When I watch things, I like it to be realistic.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying I don't want Asian people on the screen. I'm just saying when I watch it, I want to feel like I'm in the world. I don't want to be like, this is a casting decision. I don't want to be able to identify. I don't want to be able to identify that this is diversity.
That has to do with your industry. Right? Like you can say like, oh, this is a casting thing or this is because of your industry, you have that background. But for other people who don't have that thought process, it doesn't register the same way, I don't think.
Maybe. Yeah. But listen, the fact that I know about it makes it more. I agree that might influence a little bit. But still, there are things where I'm like, oh, this was casted great because it really sold me in and I don't notice those things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good casting to me. Mm-hmm. If I'm watching, it's kind of like. If I'm watching someone and something's a bad actress, someone's a bad actress, I go, this is bad casting. Or if I watch something and I go, this is a good actress, but she should not have been casted for this role or actor or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's all I'm saying. So it's like I'm fine with there being Asians all over the place if it makes sense and they're good for that role.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm seeing like a little Asian woman playing an FBI agent that kills giant black guys, I'm like, this is fake. This doesn't happen in the real world. This is diversity being shoved down my throat and I don't like it.
Damn.
Thoughts, Jesse?
Jesse?
Agreed.
Oh, Jesse.
No comment. Damn. We got the PC therapist in here. Okay. Oh, yeah. So back to Jesse's anger issues.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think I got them. I guess it's pretty bad.
Mm. Do you take it out on women specifically, on men and women, on the wall? Like, where's your anger come out from?
I think I've done such a good job my whole life keeping it in that it's just like the wheel of death, right? Like those bikers that they go around the wheel. That's what it feels like. Like, I don't show it. And the only time I do show it is when I'm just alone.
Hmm.
But then again, it's like a normal Filipino Asian man thing, I guess, right? Like that's like a stereotype almost. It's like the Asian man gets old and becomes bitter.
I would want to know what was modeled for you growing up in terms of communication and emotional intelligence.
Hmm.
What was your mom like or your dad or the people who raised you, your Lola?
What's Lola? Filipino grandma?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice. It's a lot of, and being Filipino, you know, it's like a lot of just stress to just do the, like, it's like, I felt like my parents wanted to live vicariously through me, in a sense, right? And because they're Filipino immigrants and brought us here, it's like they expected more.
Mm-hmm.
That's an Asian and Jewish thing, I think. It's just all Asians and Jews. Yeah.
Asians and Jews are the same almost. Like, we're really cheap.
That too. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's my...
Anger issues?
Yeah, anger issues.
Do you do weightlifting?
I used to. I don't anymore because I found that it did help and then it just got boring.
You got to find something else. But how good are you with identifying your emotions? Like, I'm feeling angry. I'm feeling rejected. I'm feeling...
Oh, I guess bad.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know there were the other verbs to it.
Yeah. There's this thing. It's called a feelings wheel. Google feelings wheel PDF. Okay. And it's just such an intuitive way to help you label your emotions.
Okay.
Honestly, if you really do have issues with anger, is like a really good place to start.
Okay. No, I'm being 100% honest. I do have anger issues. I never show. It'll come out sometimes, but I do a lot to suppress it.
And instead of suppressing it, what would it look like for you to express it? And then I like to ask my clients this question, like, if the anger could talk, what would it say? To just get in touch with it a little bit more.
I guess I had a lot of problems with that too. It's just like communicating how I feel. Because it was always just like a thing where as a kid, I would get mad and just, you know, throw the fit. And then I think I just never kind of thought that was anything wrong with that. I thought that was just how I was.
I like to do inner child work too. So if you could envision the younger version of yourself and what did he need to say? What did he need to say to his parents or his friends or just out loud that he never got to say? Because that's another thing within our community, right? It's like be invisible.
Right.
Assimilate.
Right.
Assimilate like a motherfucker.
Right.
Right. So oftentimes our voices are really, really just quieted down. So if your inner little Jesse could speak freely, what would he say? This really is helpful.
Okay.
With anger stuff.
Look at that. Free therapy.
Okay. You ready for the real advice now? This is what you got to do.
Right. Okay.
If you're having anger issues, angerness-y, when you're feeling angerness-y, you got to make your life better. Because if you have a dope life, if you have a great life, you got nothing to be angry about. So let's say you're angry at a person.
Sounds like something my parents would say.
Yeah.
That's very
Let's say you're angry at a person. Cut that person out of your life. Don't even talk to them. Unless they're important to you and you want to fix it, then you could try and work it out. But if they're not important and they're making you angry, dispatch. Get rid of that person.
What if I make myself angry?
If you make yourself angry, then fix those things you're angry about. If you're mad that you got like pudge on your belly, do push-ups. If you're mad that you're not making enough money, then make more money. Start applying for jobs. Make a website. Start a business. You could fix all these things. If you're mad you don't have enough free time, then quit your job.
I work here.
Well, you don't work that much, so I know that's not it. And I'm a great boss. Yeah, I would just say fix it. Take action. Don't play your thoughts in your head and spin some internet wheel. That's gay. No, just kidding. But yeah, I would just say make your life better. Like, how many dudes with six packs are looking up feelings wheels? You know, that's all I'm saying.
This was actually kind of great. This is remind me of home. I got some advice from a loving mother and then just a hard-ass dad. Again, the Jew thing and the Asian thing is where it makes sense now. I can see it.
When our powers combine.
That's all I'm saying. If you're feeling angry, get a six-pack. And then if you're still feeling angry, hey, at least you have a six-pack.
Do you have a six-pack?
No, I'm not. I don't have anger issues. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, it's like really hard to get a six-pack.
Yeah, really hard. That's what I'm saying.
So
that's why you're going to feel really good when you get one.
Okay.
Yeah. And even if it didn't fix your anger issues, if you're like, hey, Ari, what the fuck? You told me to get a six pack and fix my issues and I still have issues. Oh, I'm so sorry that I got you a six pack. So sorry about that. I'm sure that's such a horrible thing for you to have. What do you think?
I respectfully disagree. Jesse, I think you should follow my advice.
I'm definitely going to go look up the wheel after this recording.
Thank you.
But if it doesn't work, then do my advice. Yeah, and we'll report back in 6 months or however long it takes.
Do you think there's a difference between someone getting a six-pack through push-ups or someone getting a six-pack through, like, plastic surgery?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if you get a plastic surgery six-pack, I imagine it doesn't look as good.
Mm.
I imagine you won't feel like you.
So it's not the six pack then. It's what is.
It's both, because when you have a six pack, obviously you're going to look better. But when you gained it through diet and exercise, you're going to feel better too. You're going to be stronger. You're going to be healthier. When you just get like your fat sculpted, you're not going to have any actual benefits of the six pack, just the cosmetic benefits. And even then, mm-hmm. it's probably going to be better than being fat, but like looking, but still kind of weird looking. I imagine. Mm-hmm. I've never actually mm-hmm. looked up fake six packs. Mm-hmm. Fake six packs. Have you?
No.
Yeah, I bet you they don't look as. It's mm-hmm. kind of like fake boobs. Like, they're great. Fake boobs are fun. Mm-hmm. They're fun to play with. But like a real natural D cup, that's the best there is. Well, some guys like them small. So it just depends what you're into. But real over fake, if you had to pick. And that kind of goes, that's kind of the same in every aspect of life, I think.
Gems. Those are really good.
Those are good?
Yeah.
But is there anything you want to plug, like a website or Instagram or something where people can get in touch with you or look at your work?
Sure. If you are in the LA area, one of my commitments actually is to offer free and low-cost community events. So you could just go on my website, alyssamariewellness.com/events, to see all the things that I'm doing in the LA area. I do own a group practice, so even though I am not seeing clients, my employees who are all licensed therapists are. And, you know, let's get this journey started.
You're an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So also, his views are not reflective of my views. I just want to like, no, because.
Yeah, no, they're not.
The internet is brutal.
No, we've never met. She didn't even know any of this was going to happen. Yeah. She was bombarded by my views.
Yeah. And I showed up 30 minutes late. So we like really just like started.
You don't want to say that. It's going to make you seem unprofessional. What if you show up to therapy late? She was right on time.
I was right on time. Filipino time.
Oh, now she's lying.
Filipino time. I was on Filipino time.
No, do you have an office building like where your company's works out
of?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I actually leased the office right before the pandemic. It's in Sherman Oaks. I have three offices. Hey, and if you want to rent offices to do podcasts or to do photography or your therapy sessions, hit me up too. But I have offices in Sherman Oaks. But
three different like locations?
No. It's like it's
one building,
it's a huge suite.
Three mm-hmm. got three mm-hmm. offices in the building.
Mm-hmm.
Is it kind of weird when if you have three therapy sessions going on at once, is it weird when patients kind of see each other? Like, hey,
they're in the waiting room.
Yeah,
most people are just on their phones. Like when I walked through the waiting room, you know, most people are just on their phones.
I wonder if any friendships mm-hmm. have been made in a therapist waiting office. Like, oh, what are you in for? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I want to kill myself too or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, and then they help each other. I wonder if that's ever happened.
Best friends forever.
What do you think about the show Shrinking?
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
That's on Apple TV, right?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah, it's. Mm-hmm. I liked it. I have heard from a therapist that I see that he thinks it's just unrealistic and he doesn't really like it. Like, he appreciates the jokes or whatever, mm-hmm. but he's like, I can't watch it. It's too fake. Mm-hmm. So, but you haven't seen it. Okay, well, check her out on the internet. Go to her office in Sherman Oaks. Get some help. Some podcasts are sponsored by BetterHelp. I think real life help is even better. I think going to the office, showing up, knowing someone's a real person, checking out the interview, that's the way to do it. Okay, God bless you guys. See you next week.
Bye.
You're listening to
Unlicensed
Therapy with Ari Manis.
Ari Manis.